Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. It is 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the 21st of April, 2020. This show is pretty much focused on learning and sharing and promoting the teaching of a man in Switzerland named Edward Albert Meyer. We call him Billy for one reason or another. I think he had some fondness of Western movies at one time in his life, and he used to wear a cowboy hat around occasionally. He is now 83 years old. He lives in Hinterschmidruti behind a tiny mountain village called Schmidruti that is about 30 minutes or so east of Zurich, Switzerland. Whenever I think of Switzerland or Germany or Austria, I think of Victor Schauberger studying the flowing of water and studying creation. Very interesting that such wisdom can be obtained by studying creation. What is creation? Well, in the terms of the Meyer teaching, creation is a term that comes from the German word Schöpfung. And creation is both the material aspect of the universe that we live in as well as the spirit energy. Creation is called a Wesenheiten in the German, which means it's a living being that has no personality, that has a kind of a limited self-determination. In other words, creation lives according to a plan, a predetermined plan, and it doesn't really vary from that. It doesn't have a personality. It doesn't have whims. It doesn't function like a human being that can be very erratic. Creation is a spirit energy and an intelligence that radiates love. In fact, love is the highest principle in all creation. And through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love, and love will forever be the purpose of our existence. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love, and love will forever be the purpose of our existence. Creation created everything in love and logic and put that same love in all its creatures so that life itself is love. The incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. Creation's laws are so wonderfully arranged that people everywhere come up against its radiating love. You know, the thing of it is, though, that people close their senses and they no longer feel, and the German word there is empfinden, and they don't feel that radiating love, and so they say there's no love in the world. But creation has formed and arranged everything so wonderfully, so that people can recognize the majestic love of creation at every moment and at every place. And love, of course, is a creational natural law. I call it the first creational natural law. I don't know that there's really an order. Striving is another creational natural law. That's the willingness to work, the unremitting effort, the consistency, down to the tiniest atomic building blocks, the creation is fully committed to the striving. Without striving, there is no sense of life. Striving produces a delectation, which is just a satisfaction and a happiness. And it's also a very healthy thing for us to strive, to continue our striving. That's the second creational natural law, I call it anyway. And another creational natural law that I talk about is called law of harmony. And that's the equalized, neutral, positive balance in the thinking. And how do we, one of the ways to return to a neutral, positive, equalized balance in your thinking is through speaking to your consciousness. And that's why I didn't read it. I didn't know about this until I just stumbled across it. I've been doing it for years, but I really didn't know that it was a technique or anything. But tell yourself that, here's what I say. I say, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic. And now I start quoting from the Might of Thoughts. I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts. I clarify my thoughts. I strengthen my thoughts. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, every conceivable thing can come to creation. What I mightfully think manifests for me. What I mightfully think manifests for me. The negative and the positive are two forces that belong together and should never be separated because they depend on one another. When tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and cause them to go from one extreme to another, which creates a misdirection of the thought, and triggers emotions. There is no room that can lead to murder and manslaughter. There is no room for rationality in these basically wrong ideational thoughts. As a rule, suffering is an effect of some form of wrong thinking. And incidents of suffering in the life are indicators that the law of harmony has been broken and disregarded. Unsatisfaction kills off all initiative in striving for that which is higher and lets the human being sink into a brooding misery and into inactivity. So that unsatisfaction, it kills off your initiative. And the initiative goes hand in hand with enthusiasm. So you have the creational natural law, the law of harmony. So we quote these things for the purpose of speaking to our consciousness so that the psyche can pick up bits and pieces of these words and these concepts and then go back into a stable, neutral, positive state. So we have the law of love, the love of creation. We have the law of striving, continually working, putting forth effort, unremitting effort. It's assiduousness. You continue to work, but you maintain a harmonious balance while you're working. So if you feel yourself working your butt off, but you're starting to get tense, you're starting to get nervous, you're starting to get frustrated, it's time to back off of the striving so hard. Take some deep breaths and relax. Another very important creational natural law is the law of reincarnation. And if you look in nature, you can see it, especially like in perennial plants. You know, you plant a seed once and then it comes back, I guess, every year. I'm no expert in plants, but that does seem to be the nature of things. In your spirit form, never dies. When your physical body dies, the spirit form leaves the body and it goes into this energy band around the planet, this other realm. And there's something called the overall consciousness block there, which is like a work area. And the spirit form then takes all of the information that the material consciousness learned from that life, and it starts to process it. And I think this takes place in this overall consciousness block. And it starts to form lasting values, things like love and wisdom and these essences of this special lasting kind of knowledge. And that's programmed into the subconscious, the new subconscious. And you get a new personality, and creation always creates a new personality, so that your spirit form can look at life in a little different way each time that you live. Your material consciousness is completely processed. It's also stored in the storage banks. There are universal storage banks. There are planetary storage banks. Storage banks in the solar system and the galaxy. So everything that you've done, my understanding is everything that you've ever done is stored in these storage banks. It's also the evolutive values, those values that are helpful for evolution, are also stored in the spirit form, programmed into your subconscious, and stored in your, and your, even your memories, I believe, are stored to a degree in your subconscious, the new subconscious. And then ideally, if you spend 100 years in a physical lifetime, you'd spend 152, I believe is the number, in the spiritual lifetime, in what we call death. So really what we're doing is moving between a spiritual lifetime to a material lifetime, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And each time you enter into the material lifetime again, you have a brand new personality and a new consciousness. Your subconscious is programmed with all the evolutive values of your previous life, your previous lives, I should say. The spirit form enters into what's called the superior colliculus in the human brain, which is the center of your human brain. But somehow it's bilocated. It's within its realm, which I guess would be the spirit realm, I'm not really sure, and it's still in your spiritual conscious, it's still in your middle brain, the superior colliculus. It's bilocated, it's in two places. It doesn't really physically leave either. It doesn't leave the spirit realm, but it also still exists in your superior colliculus. And an energy band, an energy goes throughout your body. What happens is 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, the spirit form comes in the superior colliculus of the brain, and it sends out energy throughout the whole body and the lattice structure. The heart starts to beat. This is a fetus. It's 21 days old. The heart starts to beat, and it starts to think, and it has some advanced thoughts, but it is starting over again. Your material consciousness is like a clean slate. Now, the advantage of being around for a while is that you've been able to store things in your material consciousness. And we were talking about the importance of creation's love, which is, again, a creational natural law, which is effective love, which is brotherly love. We also mentioned striving, important of continuing the work, unremitting effort, The third thing again was the law of harmony, which is thinking in neutral positive thoughts, learning self-cognition, being able to check when you're out of neutral positive thinking, and then recover neutral positive thinking. Reincarnation is your two statuses of life, the material life or the spirit realm. And this is a process that goes on for billions of years. 40 to 60 million years, you'll be reincarnating into a physical body, and then about 35 million years and a half physical, half spiritual body, and then about three or four billion years, you'll be going, you'll be in purely spiritual state, and you're merging back with creation. But the cycle of reincarnation forces you into a state of humility, a complete humility again. And what is good about this is it forces you to depend on these guiding impulses that will come from your spirit form. And the spirit form will give you guidance. If you're, you know, you're a little baby and you're just learning to walk again, you still get those impulsations, which are like signals, which come from the spirit form. So the spirit form is kind of observing things. It's processing every thought. Whether it never sleeps, it never dies. It will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong if you've learned to pay attention to it. Those are those impulses. Now, if you've been around for more, if you've been around for a while, you may have establish some healthy thinking practices. And once a healthy thinking and feeling has been created, then a certainty has also been created for the human being, from which emerges that nothing which arises can really disturb and be disadvantageous. So I think after time, you know, if you study words long enough, phrases like "my consciousness is like a garden filled with flourishing plants," that garden in your consciousness, those flourishing plants, produce a kind of certainty. And it is also this certainty which spurs on a constant forward progress and the striving for that which is higher, because in the certainty, the success, which is eventually contained in forward progress and striving, can already be seen. So remember, we were talking about enthusiasm, and enthusiasm drives you forward to success. I think anticipation of success leads to enthusiasm. Also, the imaginary picture that you place in your mind of success drives you forward, and this certainty is very important. But certainty is created from the attitude of one's consciousness, indeed by the acquisition from an actual knowledge of a decisive conviction, which becomes one's firm attitude, and with that one's firm opinion and certainty. So you really start to develop a certainty over time. Therefore, in the world, there is basically only one single effective certainty, indeed, that of one's identification with the one and only reality, which is possible for the human being, the knowledge and wisdom of one's own consciousness, which has been the human being's power, might, and refuge since time immemorial, and will also remain for all future time. Your consciousness is incredibly powerful. My consciousness is incredibly powerful, especially when we maintain our harmony. And enthusiasm is like a magic spell. It's just poof. It produces this certainty and self-confidence. You trust your abilities, your qualities. You have self-assurance. And, you know, confidence can help you make more money. You know, not that we're obsessed with money. Much of our negative thinking comes from lack of confidence, self-doubt, anxiety. You know, I can remember when I was plagued by self-doubt. Telling yourself you're confident. I mean, that's the first thing I say when I quote those things. I'm confident. I'm optimistic. Here's one for you. The life always forms according to the thoughts that are chosen, tended, and nurtured. So that's a guarantee. Your life always forms according to the thoughts, which are the thoughts, period. You can just leave it there if you want. But the thoughts that are chosen, tended, and nurtured. So don't choose negative thoughts, or that's how your life will form. Sloth, I've talked about sloth before. Remember Billy in 1943 in Switzerland? He's living even farther north in Bulak, and he starts to get telepathic messages from this man named Sloth. Eventually meets Sloth in a clearing but near the forest, I imagine, where there weren't too many people around. Sloth landed his strange silvery pear-shaped craft, took Billy up in the craft. And one of the things that Sloth told Billy was about Billy's previous lives, that Billy had been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, Muhammad. And I said Billy, I really should have said Billy's spirit form. Had also been what Rasputin had been, Aristotle, Socrates, Galileo, Mendelssohn, Mozart, and others. And I said Enoch, but what that really means is Henoch with a C-H, Henoch with a K. There were multiple Henochs. But Sloth was Billy's mentor for the first 11 years of his life. He told Billy about his predecessor personalities, about his war gangers. He also told Billy many things that would happen in his life. One of the most important things he told Billy is, you must build up great confidence for all your future and for all the success of your works, your tasks, jobs, and mission. And always know that you will accomplish everything and never fail. You know, Billy did many occupations, I think hundreds of occupations. For some reason, that was important for his evolution. He did. I obviously couldn't spend that much time on any one occupation. And once he kind of started his mission, he may have just been only collecting like a social security type thing from the government of Switzerland. And that's, I think, about the time he started to write all his books. So that's, that was his real mission, is to convert all this teaching, the spiritual teachings, the teaching of the spirit, into written forms, where you have books like Mach der Gedanken, The Mind of Thoughts, Talmud of Emmanuel, which was originally a manuscript written by Judas Iscariot. Billy turned it into a book because of all the needed explanations. The Psyche is another great book. The Way to Live, which is Die Art zu Leben, The Goblet of Truth, Kelch der Wahrheit. But Sloth was Billy's mentor, and he told him to build up great confidence. And this is the certainty that I'm talking about here that's being discussed in The Might of Thoughts. All the human beings becoming and passing emerges from his or her own consciousness, and indeed everything, all that which he or she is able to devise, evaluate, and bring to fruition through the might of his or her thoughts. So what I mightfully, what you mightfully think manifests for you. What I mightfully think manifests for me. So it's a mightful thinking. It's a very intensive thinking. by means of his or her own consciousness and the ideas that are thereby conceived and transformed into ideas and imaginations, and so forth, and by means of the further logic of his own thoughts, the human being is able to master, become, the human being is able to master all the becoming and passing of all those things for which the human being, him or herself, is responsible for in every regard. So Svath told Billy, and only if you maintain the correctness of your thoughts and feelings, it's very important, self-cognition, think about your thoughts and your feelings, as well as all your work and all your actions, every respect, and also use your great powers of consciousness in this form. You'll be able to have true confidence in yourself and not allow this to be shaken by anything. Therefore, acquire confidence and certainty that you will always maintain control, whereby you shall not, however, behave in a way which does not correspond to your nature, because the human beings shall see and recognize that you are a human being as they themselves. Contact Report 215. Each person must first acquire an optimistic attitude solely for himself, and from this will initially result the progress of expansion through which his fellow men will be prompted and will join in. Might of Thoughts, page 216. Optimism is a prerequisite for constancy in life. This will help to stabilize you. The more optimism. So tell yourself, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful. Even if you don't believe it, even if you're not feeling confident at the time, the first step towards confidence is being able to speak it, to say, I am confident. Because what happens, your consciousness will hear what you're saying. And it provides just one little step towards being stable. So you want to produce multiple steps, steps, steps. In the Talmud of Emmanuel, it talked about Emmanuel's ability to have suggestive, to auto-suggest, to have auto-suggestion to people. And he would speak to them. He would say, basically, he would talk to their consciousness in a way that would kind of almost hypnotize them. And he would say, you know, all of these soothing and positive things and truthful things, and it would change, take people's anxiety away and allow them to heal themselves. So anyway, optimism is a prerequisite for consistency and constancy in life. Don't lose your conviction about a good end. It's very important. Anyway, we've been studying the teaching of Edward Albert Meyer. Talked about the creational natural laws, like love, talked about striving, the law of harmony, and the law of reincarnation. We'll see you soon. Have a good day and practice your confidence and your certainty. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.